It's just after 9 on Saturday morning, and a young woman in scrubs loads up her sedan with boxes of sterile water, band-aids, and syringes. She's ready for deliveries.
She's got kind of a list of everybody that we're going to see, where they're located.
She's one of the volunteers with a group called Shot in the Dark, Phoenix's underground needle exchange.
Some of us are people who use drugs, some of us are people who used to use drugs.
She's nervous talking about this. Her day job is in social work, so we're not using her name. While dispensing needles isn't technically illegal, distributing or possessing drug paraphernalia is a felony under Arizona law. Because of that, it's difficult to get any public support. Everything her group does is word of mouth. The premise?
Just because you're using drugs doesn't mean that your health care doesn't matter, and doesn't mean that there's nothing that can be done.
Needle exchanges are a classic example of the concept of harm reduction, an umbrella term for reducing the negative consequences of drug use, like HIV and hepatitis C, without forcing people to be abstinent. More than 30 states have syringe exchanges. Some are publicly funded, others more informal. Arizona has a few in the South, but for years, a shot in the dark has been the only option in Phoenix.
As people become more aware of us, we're getting more and more requests, which is a really good thing. I just wish we could do more.
Soon, we're at our first stop. A middle-aged woman emerges from a small house with a tiny lawn.
Hey.
They make small talk as she fills a bag for her, and then they part ways.
She was asking me for naloxone. Unfortunately, we don't have any right now.
That's the opioid overdose reversal drug. Arizona has recently made efforts to expand access, passing a law that lets people buy it without a prescription, and trying to get law enforcement to carry it. But she says it's still not getting to enough people who use drugs.
Part of it is affordability, part of it is access, but I think the biggest part is people fear the discrimination that comes along with asking.
The state's actually now tracking who buys naloxone in hopes of collecting more data, but she says that only adds to the unease among users. Some are even suspicious of her at first. We're at a trailer park now. Four people come to the idling car. One man looks impatient, anxious. When he reaches for the syringes, his arm reveals an abscess, wider than a baseball.
Got some antibiotic ointment?
Yeah, it takes a minute.
Then he hurries back inside.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, just that was... that. I mean, that was a pretty obvious severe infection. But you saw his reaction when I was like, see a doctor or something? You know, he was like, immediately walked away.
And that's typical. People don't want to go to the doctor for any reason. They're worried about being arrested or put on a list.
We're the only people that are left that will talk to them because their family has cut off contact. You know, everybody in their entire life pretty much telling them to get off drugs.
But she doesn't tell them that, only referring them to a doctor or treatment program if asked.
Like, we're not just giving people needles.
Many still believe syringe access programs enable drug use, but the Centers for Disease Control say that's not the case. In fact, some research shows people who access these programs are 5 times more likely to get treatment than those who don't.
It's the craziest thing. You tell people that their lives matter, you tell them you care about your health, and they start to believe it, and they decide that they want to change something.
She's seen both sides, having worked in addiction for years, telling people as they leave detox to stay 100% abstinent, while knowing the statistics show how unlikely that is.
I got involved with this because I didn't feel like I was actually helping anyone. And now I think I am.
In 2016, she says they gave out more than 500,000 syringes, more than 1,000 naloxone kits. But without steady funding, they're running low on money and supplies.
You know, a group of community members decided to start doing this because of the complete inaction of the Arizona government.
Many would disagree that the state's done nothing. There have been laws to curb opioid prescribing, for example. And over the summer, health officials have been collecting data and coming up with a comprehensive plan, one that she hopes just might include a program like theirs.
Here, you take these dirty ones? Yeah, right there.
George Patterson knows why people come to him on Tuesday afternoons in an empty mall parking lot and not the pharmacy down the road.
All you have to do is find us. You don't need to bring your ID. You don't need to sign anything. You just get what you need.
And what most of the IV drug users gathered around his car need are clean needles and naloxone. That's the drug that reverses opioid overdoses. So they turn to volunteers who run the Valley's only underground syringe exchange network.
It should be a clinic. There should be safe injection sites. There should be places where people can go so they don't overdose in QT bathrooms.
Some states have revised their drug laws to make needle exchanges explicitly legal, but Arizona has not. Giving out a syringe for drug use is a felony. Along with preventing diseases like HIV, Patterson says they're getting naloxone to the people who need to use it most, like this man.
I have recently on a friend, yeah.
He wouldn't give his name, but says he picks up naloxone every time he comes here.
There's still a lot of people that don't even know about it. They're still using dirty needles. It shouldn't be so hidden.
But the county's top prosecutor doesn't feel the same way about needle exchanges.
It's a well-intentioned, misguided program.
That's Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery.
We don't have a free case of beer a month program for alcoholics. It sends the wrong message, too, and it's not providing the treatment.
A syringe only facilitates an ongoing addiction, he says. But naloxone is different. It's a life-saving measure. Just because he's against exchanges doesn't mean he wants to punish addiction, though.
The criminal justice system isn't looking to prosecute the substance abuser where we don't have to.
Montgomery points to a pretrial diversion program, now expanding statewide, that began in his office. It lets some nonviolent drug offenders opt for treatment instead of prison.
Law enforcement really does look at treatment first as an option for those who are addicted. We can change that understanding. We can change that narrative.
And reduce the stigma attached to addiction, he says. That's where a pilot program called the Angel Initiative comes in.
It's slowly increasing in familiarity with the community.
Phoenix Police Commander Eduardo De Castro runs the initiative based in Phoenix's West Valley. And the way it works is simple. People who are addicted and without drug convictions can walk into the precinct, turn over any drugs, and get help finding treatment.
So that there isn't this barrier between what they think we're going to do and what we think of them. It's more of, let's work together.
De Castro admits it's difficult to reach people who are so fearful. Since October, 16 people have come into the precinct. Another 100 have been referred by officers on the street. He knows about the under-the-radar needle exchange, though.
If these organizations are going out there and they're helping people to not overdose, to not get sick, to not share needles, those kind of things, then we're here to help. You know, we're not for it or against it.
In other words, they're not going to arrest them. Needle exchanges seek to reduce the negative consequences of drug abuse without forcing abstinence, a concept called harm reduction. The Surgeon General has determined they improve health outcomes, get more people into treatment, and don't promote drug use. National experts like Dr. Andrew Kolodny agree.
These are really important strategies.
Kolodny co-directs the Opioid Policy Research Collaborative at Brandeis University. Increasing access to clean syringes and naloxone he calls a no-brainer, but says those are downstream interventions.
If you treat opioid addiction effectively, people are going to be much less likely to overdose. Even more upstream would be preventing opioid addiction through more cautious prescribing.
State health officials are mainly emphasizing those areas by tracking prescriptions, offering guidelines to doctors, and encouraging treatment, among other things. In fact, a recent report to the governor recommends expanding on those approaches. But expanding needle exchanges? That wasn't one of them. Will Stone, KJZZ News, Phoenix.